We're going to think tonight very briefly about, and it's on screen, trust. Trust. You know, it comes up constantly, doesn't it? Who can you trust? It's not my intention to be in the least political post-Brexit. But one thing we surely learned over the last month or so, if we didn't know it already, much of what we hear and much of what we read, especially in terms of things like numbers which are portrayed and financials and promises, actually cannot be trusted. And then there was the Chilcot inquiry, just what, 10 days or so ago? And the Chilcot inquiry was politicians, spin doctors, the security services, all under the microscope, all under scrutiny. Who can you trust? And then I guess you can look across the pond, look across the Atlantic, and listen to Trump and Hillary Clinton, and you ask the question, who can you trust? I saw a headline yesterday in a newspaper. It said, do you trust this man? And there was a picture of Sam Allardyce. Do you trust this man to bring the World Cup to England in 2018? That was the headline. It's all about trust. Of course, we have to trust others, don't we? You drove tonight on the, I was going to say on the right side of the road, but that would be wrong because it's the left side of the road. We drove here trusting that others would obey traffic lights and give way signs. You have to trust other drivers. You trust your GP when you go to the doctor that they will make a correct diagnosis. You trust the dentist when the chair goes back and the drill comes close. You trust that the dentist will put the drill in the right place and not in the gum or somewhere in the cheek or wherever. We have to trust. Some of you may go on holiday flying. You trust the pilot is going to get you there. It's all about trust, isn't it? But people make mistakes. And there are accidents. And sometimes even deliberate acts which can compromise trust. But I guess we can get even personal about these issues because some of us have known what it is to have trust betrayed. Trust in the family, trust by a friend, trust in the workplace by a work colleague, maybe even trust by a fellow Christian. And even as you point the finger or think about it, of course, fingers are pointing maybe back at yourself. And have we been in that position when we've let others down in terms of trust? But as we come to the Bible tonight, just for a few moments, the Bible has a lot to say on this subject of trust. And perhaps one of the clearest, most unambiguous statements is the statement that we find in Proverbs chapter 3. Now, Proverbs is a book which, if you've never really read it seriously, is full of wisdom. That's exactly why it's written. You can go back to chapter 1, and the reason Proverbs is written is to give wisdom and understanding. And you find short statements in Proverbs. Now, the only bit of social media I do occasionally is to tweet. Twitter. Now, if you tweet, you have 140 characters to say something important. Now, I look at what I receive at times, and in those 140 characters, I really wonder what is important about what is being said. But if you come to these Proverbs, if you want tonight, you can call them tweets. They're like tweets. Each one of these statements is less than 140 characters. And yet they say something which is so vitally important to us. We have wise statements. We have statements which really tell us about family life and the essence of family life, about marriage, about work, about money, about education, about friends, about alcohol. All of these things you can find in Proverbs in these short, pithy tweets, statements. Clear, definite instruction to be taken to heart so that we don't waste our lives. Proverbs 3 is, I'm sure, the most well-known of the Proverbs. And we're going to look just very briefly at verses 5 and 6. They'll come up on screen. Here they are. These are the Proverbs. Number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do you want to summarize it? To remember it? Put God first. Number two, do not lean on your own understanding. If you want to summarize that, don't rely on yourself. And number three, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path, which you can summarize as you can know direction in your life. Here are three succinct, clear statements which come to us from the Word of God. So we're going to look at number one, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Put God first. Now, just as we started out by giving a sort of a contemporary look at what is happening in our world around the issue of trust, the Bible has a lot to say about who not to trust. And here are some things that the Bible tells us that we should not trust. We should not trust, says the Bible, put our trust in things. So Psalm 20 and verse 7 really summarizes that for us by saying to us, some people trust in chariots, some in horses, things, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So the Bible tells us that we shouldn't trust in things. And we shouldn't trust, says the Bible, in money. Psalm 49, verses 6 and 7 tell us, and there are many other places in the scriptures as well, those who trust in their wealth, 49 verse 6, and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means help or redeem his brother. That is what Psalm 49, verses 6 and 7 say. Maybe you want a contemporary way to look at this particular issue of money, and I'm sure you've heard this many, many times before, that money can buy you a house, but it can't buy you a home. That money can buy you a bed, but it can't buy you sleep. Money can buy you a clock, but it can't buy you time. Money can buy you medicine, but it can't buy you health. Money, should we trust in it? The Bible in its wisdom says don't trust in things or money. Or ultimately, says the Bible, even in people. Because Psalm 118 verses 8 and 9 tell us, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in people of high rank. It calls them princes in the psalm. but it is better to trust in the Lord. Trust in things, the Bible says, it's going to let you down. Money will, people will, and outward religion will as well. So Isaiah 42 and verse 7 gives us this particular clarity about this topic. Verse 17, it tells us, they shall be greatly ashamed who trust in images or make idols, who say to the molded images, you are our gods. These things people make, they should not be trusted. Outward religion. I'm sure many of you have been to many places, grand churches of architecture, where people come in and prostrate themselves before images. 2 weeks ago today, I had to work, I was in Jerusalem. And I think around this time, we walked through the old city to some of the places that people regard within the old city of Jerusalem as being important. And there were so many pilgrims bowing themselves and prostrating themselves because this is the place where it was said that Christ was born or that the body was. And so many different ways that people were bowing to idols. Don't trust them. Don't trust them. And then, of course, finally, it says we shouldn't trust ourselves either. That's what Paul said. Can you really trust yourself? So here are some things not to trust. But this verse in Proverbs gives us the answer. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. The Lord, L-O-R-D, who is Jehovah, God, the God of creation, the God of revelation, the God of salvation, who spoke in the Old Testament, which we're reading, but supremely we find revealed in the New Testament in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God incarnate from before the world began. And can you imagine this father speaking to his son? Because Proverbs 3 is about a dad speaking to his son. My son, it starts, verse 1 of chapter 3. My son. So here's a father speaking to his son. He's passionate about what he's saying. He's saying, son, it's not enough that I trust in the Lord and your mum trusts in the Lord. Do you trust in the Lord? A question to his son. And it's not enough that you say that you believe in God. Dad, you taught me about God. Yes, son, but do you trust him? And that is the picture of this Proverbs, where the dad is really speaking, son, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. It's not enough, son, just to say that I know about God. It's not enough to say, I believe in God. Son, do you trust in God with all of your heart? Do you know that this God, son, that sin separates you from him? And do you know that he is reaching out and has reached out to you so that you can know him personally? It's not enough just to know about. It's not enough just to believe. But are you trusting in him? It was great to hear the testimony of Wendy, because that really is such a reinforcement of what this proverb is saying. It's not enough to go to church. It's not enough to say, I believe. It's that personal trust which comes when we acknowledge how God sees us, and then we come in repentance and faith. And then we are to go on trusting. That's what this proverb is saying. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Make sure you put God first in your life. Put God first. I guess the issue here is, where is your heart? I just wonder if we put up on screen, we're not going to do it, the words, I love. And we went around and said to the boys and girls and others, If we were to put I love, what would come up on screen? I love chocolate. It would come up, I'm sure. Football? Probably. Holidays? Possibly. School? Probably not. But all lists of things would come up on screen. I love. But I wonder on the screen, would we as individuals say, I love the Lord? I love the Lord. And could we sing a song, Father, I love you, I worship, I adore you. Lord Jesus, I love you, I worship, I adore you. Holy Spirit, I love you, I worship, I adore you. Because that is the essence of what this is about. Trusting the Lord with all of our heart. Then secondly, it goes on to say, and don't worry, that first point took, too long. So the second and third ones will be brief. Number two, do not lean on your own understanding. You see, we can trust the Lord for the past. It's been dealt with if we're a Christian. So that when Satan tempts you to despair and tells you of the guilt within, upwards I look and see him there. He's made an end of all my sin. We can trust him for the present because he has promised he is with us. And we can trust him for the future because our days are in his hand. But we're not to lean on our own understanding. Don't rely on yourself. We live in a very self-centered, self-focused society. I guess much of social media is about self. It's very self-focused. I'm sure you know that the most sung song at funerals, I did it my way. It's not abide with me, it's I did it my way. It's not love divine or love's excelling. Actually, 50 years ago, of course, the Beatles sang in this very city. What did they sing? Some of you know. What do they sing? We can work it out. We can work it out. We've got enough ability to work out what this life is about. Actually, the Bible says, don't lean on your own understanding. Which is why that strange story was read from Judges chapter 17. If you've never read that story, it's strange on first reading. Here's Micah. He's stolen a whole lot of money from his mother. It's a terrible thing to do. He's stolen money from his mother. When he admits it and when his mother finds out, his mother actually says, well, it was meant for you anyway. So he gives the money back to his mother. She then sends some of that money to make some shrines because she wants her son to establish his own religion. And so as you read those verses, you find that Micah sets up his own religion in his house. He's got images to bow down to. They have vestments to wear. And he consecrates one of his own sons to be a priest to look after the religion in his house. And the commentary of Judges 17 is this. There was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That was the commentary. They all did what was right in their own eyes. This was convenience morality. What was right to me? There was no conviction that God had spoken, that God in his word had said, this is how you should worship me. Everyone was doing their own thing, leaning on their own understanding. But actually, is it any different today? People lean on their own understanding about how God should be worshipped, if at all. How you can get acceptance with God. How do you get acceptance with God if you go around the streets and ask people? By doing good? By helping? By going to church occasionally? You see, this is what people think, isn't it? But then this proverb is actually speaking further than just saying that's how other people. What about us? Those of us who say we've trusted the Lord, are we leaning on our own understanding? So the question for us is, what or who am I leaning on today? What am I leaning on? The tweet says, don't rely on yourself in this life. You can find that you can cast your care upon someone else, the Lord. You can find stability in the Lord. You can find security in the Lord. So don't rely on yourself, but rely upon Him. Number three, we need to put God first. We're not to rely upon ourselves. Proverb number three, tweet number three, you can know direction in your life. You can. If you make sure God is in every part of your life. Now, I don't know, some of you have got cell phones, haven't you? Many people have got cell phones. Have you got apps on your cell phone? I'm sure you have. I think one of the problems that we have to consider is that there's not an app called The Christian Life, which we open on a Sunday and then close down for the rest of the week. The app, The Christian Life, if I can say it like that, needs to be open all the time. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Not just on a Sunday in Belvedere Road, but on a Monday throughout the week. That the app, The Christian Life, is something that is evident and open to all, not just something on a Sunday. So that whether we're at work, or doing the washing, whether it's childcare or car driving, whether it's with friends or with family, we are acknowledging in all our ways Him. And there's a promise, He will direct our paths. As we conclude, we talked about Mr. Olliott before, and when he was here 2 years, I was actually here for that morning when he spoke on that particular story. I don't know how many sermons you've heard in your life. A lot, many of you. I was working out the other day. I think I must have heard, 5,000, 10,000 sermons, maybe more. I really don't know. There aren't that many, I have to be honest, that stick in my mind. Are you the same? Not many sermons really stick in your mind. But I have a sermon preached by Mr. Olliott that's stuck in my mind for more than 30 years. It was at the Swanwick Conference Centre in Derbyshire. And it was a conference for leaders, church leaders. And it was normal for the speaker to speak for at least 45, 50, 55, an hour, minutes. Mr. Olliott spoke, I think, for about 25 minutes. And he spoke on a verse from Acts chapter 17. God is not far from every one of us, for in Him we live and move and have our being. And that verse, and what Mr. Olliott said about that verse, had a big impact on me. I know in the context it's speaking to unbelievers to realize that God is not far. We can't just say God is remote, God is near. But to me as a Christian, that made an impact, that God was not far in whatever I did in my life. He was not far. I can call upon Him. I can come to Him. It was a passionate, riveting, brief sermon that made an impact. Make sure, says the writer, that God is in every part of your life. And then we will know direction when faced with decision making, We will know peace when there's trials and difficulties and problems. And we will know what it is as individual Christians to make an impact for God in our world. Here is a promise. He will direct our paths. Three simple proverbs. Trust in the Lord. That's a question that comes to all of us. Am I tonight, however young I am, however old I am, however long I've been coming to church, if I've never come to church, can you say, yes, I trust in him?